Praise the Lord, church. You all look so good, wherever you are. I'd like to make a suggestion that you move back at least 6 feet from your computer just to be safe. I feel pretty good. I don't mean to make light of this, but if we don't keep our sense of humor, we're going to be in trouble. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I want to have some strength after this message. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 40, starting in verse number 28, familiar scripture to most of us. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word, Lord, that it go forth unhindered, that it would touch the hearts and the minds of your people, encourage us through it in Jesus' name. We're being challenged like never before because of what we're going through. Everything that we had confidence in perhaps is shaken, such as health, finances, relationships, and even our church services. Now seems to be a time where we're not certain of the future, all because it's undermined by this virus. But church, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard? How many times have you heard messages about waiting upon God, that he would strengthen us, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We even sing that song from time to time. I was disappointed Thursday when the governor made the mandate of extending the quarantine until May 26th. Is there anybody who's ready to come back to church? Is there anybody feeling like, I'm a fish out of water? Don't you just love to wait, spend time waiting for anything? I don't think it's in our nature to do that. I spent 6 years in the Army, and a good portion of the time that I was in the Army, it was waiting. Waiting in formation for orders to determine what we were going to do, waiting in line to go to chow, to go to lunch. I didn't always agree with the orders that we were given, but I conformed to what I was supposed to do, and it bode well for me and everyone else that was in the Army. And later, when I was giving the orders, I appreciated the necessity of that compliance. And we need to comply with regulations. Our scripture tells us that the reward for waiting on God is a renewed strength and higher heights. Our God has his eyes on each and every one of us. I believe that he monitors our thoughts, certainly our actions. And according to 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." Why? "To show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards God." And that word heart means completely trusting in him so he can keep us safe. David, who found himself in a lot of challenging situations, many times not of his own fault, he said in Psalms 27 and 14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good cheer, And he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Not on government, not on science, but God. And we have been challenged over the last several weeks to be patient and wait on God because our life is in his hands. David learned to trust and to wait on his God. And he also said in Psalms 130:6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watcheth for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. In other words, he wasn't looking for men to resolve the situation or bail him out. He was waiting for God to turn things around, knowing that man couldn't, nor could he. Did you know that God can open the gates of self-quarantine at any time? He can mandate what is going to be open and what should be closed. And at his word, even governors have to comply when our God speaks. Lamentations 3:25 tells us, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. The Lord is good. You see, if we wait, what we're saying is we're trusting in you, God. We're not trusting in other situations. You can't get out of line. God's saving our place in line, if you will. But Pastor, what's going to happen to our economy over the next 6 weeks? I worry about businesses and finances. Well, I don't know, but God does. And I trust in him. You see, the entire 11th chapter of Hebrews is a testimony of people who had challenges, yet they were listed in God's hall of faith because they trusted in God, especially in the challenges of their life. And in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. You see, there is always a reward for those who diligently seek after God. I believe when this is all over, and I believe it's going to be over sooner than we can imagine, I really believe that God has his hand, especially in what's going on in the church, that there will be a greater reward for those who continue to be faithful in the church. And I believe that we're going to see a revival like we have never seen before, even with all of our promotions. God knows how to bring revival. We will receive things that we could not have gotten had we not gone through this pandemic. We always get the best of what God has. You know, I know in John, the second chapter, it records the first miracle that Jesus performed, and it was at a wedding. And the miracle was that the bridegroom ran out of wine, which was the daily beverage back then, and the mother of Jesus was very insistent that Jesus do something about that. And so water pots were brought. In fact, they were water pots that were used to wash the feet of guests that came in. And as they poured the water into these pots, it turned into wine. And the governor was given this wine to drink. And he said this, you know, most times they keep the best wine for the first part of the wedding, and then that which is less at the end. But you have saved the best for last. And I'm telling you, church, God has saved the best for last. We're going to see some great things happening in a short period of time. Now, my temperament is not one of great patience. I don't know if that's unusual. Some of you may not have great patience as well. I many times see things that could be corrected or fixed, and I want to rush in and charge to rectify or resolve the situation I know should be taken care of. And more than once, God has shown me to keep my hands off. Don't do anything. Just stand there. Because he's doing a work in the lives of people that I don't even see. I believe God is doing a great work for all of us. And it's not what we can do, it's what he can do. Most of you know about my 24-hour rule. If something disturbs me, something gets me excited, I know enough not to address it for 24 hours, giving time for God to work on me and my spirit. So through all of these restraints on us, we develop patience, which could not have developed had we not been confined or restricted. There is some value here, and that value is that we are developing a patience and a trusting in God. Because God knows that if we don't have patience, we can't receive God's promises. That's what his word says. Hebrews 10 and 36 tells us, "For we have need of patience after ye have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promises." You see, the promises of God just don't show up until we demonstrate our patience with the situation that God allowed in our lives. And the closer we get to the second coming of the Lord, the closer we get to the rapture, the more our hearts need to be established in patience, because we don't want to lose out with God before he comes. James 5 and 8 says, "Be also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." In other words, what God is saying is, if you want to be a part of this rapture, you have to develop some patience, some trust in me. One day we will look back at this and see how all of this has benefited our church. We don't see it right now, but we will. It causes us to pray more. I believe we have a 24-hour prayer band going on. People praying 24 hours a day out of this church. And we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, as the Word of God says. To establish church in our homes, not just on three times a week. To set an example to our children of what's important and how we should pray. It has caused us to export this gospel outside this building like never before. Song services that go out through the internet and even preaching via the internet. In the scripture, God uses adversity to scatter people. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, to spread his word to those who haven't heard this good gospel. I once didn't see the value of being patient, but now I know there is always a reward for those who are patient. James 1 and 3 says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Verse 4, "But let patience have her perfect work." Why? "That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Well, that's exciting. Because God is saying, if you work patience, if you develop patience, if you allow patience to have its perfect way in your life, I will be wanting nothing. God said it. I believe it. Most of you can quote Romans 8 and 28 in your sleep. And most of the time we go to that scripture when we have situations in our life that we don't understand. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Not our purpose, but according to his purpose. He has our lives in control. He allows certain things to happen in our life for our good. All things work together for good. God has been working on a vaccine for 4,000 years for the ravages of sin. I know there are many people who are looking for the cure of this virus, but more should be looking for the cure to the dilemma of sin in their life. A cure, an antidote for what makes people ill and causes them to die without God, people who have no hope. And the cure costs more than we could pay. And our God knew that. So he robed himself in flesh and became a sacrifice for us. He paid the price with his own life. The vaccine that cured us from the plague of sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. But you can't just know about the cure, that vaccine, that life-saving blood that washes my sins away has to be applied. We have to be inoculated with that blood. What a tragedy it would be if we finally got a vaccine that stopped this horrible virus, and then those that knew about it just kept it to themselves, didn't want to tell anybody else about it. I'm going to end this message with some of my favorite scriptures. For many, it's a revelation of truth, and it certainly was a revelation of truth for me. If you'll turn to Colossians, the first chapter, starting in verse number 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. So Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And by him, by Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. You realize what it's saying is Jesus created the heavens and the earth. Jesus is the one who walked in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve and wrestled with Jacob, according to this. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In other words, he's first in rank. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence or total authority. For it pleased the Father that in him should all of the fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies of in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. He reconciled us. He made us whole through this antidote, this cure for sin. And now we can get as close to him as we want. You see, God loves everybody, but he hates sin. So when his blood is applied to our lives, well, he doesn't see all of the wrong. All he sees is his own righteousness, and we can draw close to him. Thank God for patience. Thank God it causes us to wait upon him, because all things work together for good, and there's some good that will come out of this. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. God, we ask your hand of protection and strength to be on each and every one of us as we go through these next few weeks. God, be with us and comfort us, and we'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name, amen.